Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how you doing over there?
Oh, doing pretty good, in and out of the smoke and everything. And
I know. Last week, you know, on the weekend and the show, we're like, I thought we'd gotten rid of it, and it seemed like I saw blue sky, and then it was gone again.
Well, it has something to do with, and, you know, I'm going out on a limb here, but I kind of question the forest practice management policies up in British Columbia.
Oh, no. McKay, I knew you were going to make this political. Wrong show. This is real estate. Oh, my. He went there, folks. He went there. Well, we also have on the phone calling in, busy as ever, our resident in-house lending specialist, Mr. Mike Denslow. Mike, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I just want to talk about the smoke.
Yeah, okay, good. Absolutely. We're going to assume that that's going to eventually go away and it'll be back to business as usual. I will tell you, though, you miss the blue sky. There's something about that. I don't think I would do very well. I mean, that's why we live on the east side instead of the west side, right? We don't like seeing gray clouds all the time.
Exactly.
Well, I miss the blue sky for sure. Well, the one thing it hasn't done is it doesn't seem to have slowed the real estate industry very much. There was a day or two where showings did drop off a little bit because people were just, I mean, they were staying indoors. There was about two of those days that were just terribly unhealthy, and we didn't show many homes then. But for the most part, we are still clipping along at a fantastic pace. And so, yeah, it's been great. Another big Tri-Cities week with the fair. So last day out there. And so I know it's been a long week for a lot of the people that were out there. So congratulations. You made it till Saturday.
Yes.
But before we jump into today's topic, we always like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate story. And McKay, I got to tell you, I think this is the first time ever in the history of the show, 2 weeks in a row, our celebrity real estate story is coming out of Oregon. I mean, we normally have New York, right? Or Miami, yeah, or some crazy ones. Last week, we talked about Drew Bledsoe's estate for sale in Bend. This week, in a smaller area, we are going to St. Helen, Oregon. And over there, if you remember, McKay, back in 2008, there was a little bit of, there was this little tiny movie came out called Twilight. Bella's house in the movie, she moved to a small town of Forks, Washington, but the house is actually located at 184 6th Street in St. Helens, Oregon. The owners have kept it vintage to how the movie was filmed, and they're moving on now, and that home is on the market. So listed, and this isn't like absolutely insane like we see happen, but listed at $349.9 by Cascade Sotheby's International Realty. And so since the news story, the realtor over there did say he has had quite a few crazy fans come by and take their pictures out in front of the house.
Yeah.
So there's your chance, St. Helens, Oregon, to own a piece of Twilight history, McKay.
How many of those fans do you think are even close to being in a position where they could buy that house?
I'm gonna go ahead and say that is a lower number for sure. It did say that it was still active and not sold. So there's our crazy real estate story. Our second story of the week, new report coming out of Zillow, and McKay, I basically just printed this report to tell you that I was right, to prove that I was right about something. So about a month and a half ago, we did a real estate show based upon the premise of what I was calling a new trend we hadn't seen in years. And that was a number of local agents starting to email me price reduced flyers. And I said that that was kind of an early warning sign. We did a whole show about what that meant and the difference. Well, interesting, Zillow put out a report this last week that said there are now more price cuts now than a year ago in over two-thirds of the nation's largest metros. 14% of all listings had a price cut in June. And this is actually the greatest January to June increase ever reported by Zillow since they've been tracking that.
In price cuts?
In price cuts, exactly.
Wow.
So one of the things, and we kind of are going to consolidate it in the news story here. We did an entire show about this. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that house values are depreciating necessarily. It just means that in the real estate market, sellers might need to be a little more conservative about the price that they go on, because over the course of the last, 2 years, a lot of times you've seen houses go on maybe above market, and the market was appreciating fast enough that it would catch that, mm-hmm. and they would be okay. Now, the concern becomes greatly, greatly magnified when you're in a slowing or changing market, because if that's the case, if you miss the mark too much, then you won't get the showings necessary to get the offers to then get the home under contract. So, McKay, I love it when a multi-billion dollar company comes up with the same results that we did the radio show about.
Is there a footnote in there that says this was done to prove Lance was right?
You know, I don't even think I'm a blip on their radar. So there was not. The only footnote I'm getting is the one I have to pay for to do my advertising on their sites. So there's my disclaimer there for sure. So one of the things we like to do is, as always, every week, we like to, Mike and I, talk and look at what's going on in the market, what people are doing, and bring that as our topic to the show. And I tell you what, when the market starts to change a little bit like it has, and we start to get increased listing inventory like we had, we're finally out of DEFCON, 10 mode, as I call it. And mm-hmm. there's now homes to actually see and a selection out there, which is fantastic. When that happens, we start to see more folks as there's more choices in going into the market. And many, many folks come to us and say, we had probably four or five appointments over the last 2 weeks where the people said, hey, I want to buy that new construction house, or I want you to find me my next home. But Lance, I don't want to move twice. And I'm not necessarily 100%, ready to go cash in place. Like, mm-hmm. I want to sell my house first and then move to my new house. So one of the ways we accomplish that is what's called a buyer sale of property contingency. So let's say we go out and look, and mm-hmm. the reason why this is news now and to do the show about it is because it's more likely to be accepted in this market that we're going to see over the next 6 months than it has been in the market over the last 2 years. And what I mean by that is there were so many offers on so many properties over the course of the last 18 months mm-hmm. that if you're looking at all the offers and you get four offers and one of them is contingent, that's a risk for the seller. So what I mean is there's been so many offers that sellers generally weren't even looking at contingent offers. So you were forced to sell your house, move into a short-term rental, and then be in a non-contingent state to be able to purchase. And so now, though, we are starting to see more contingent offers back on the market, more sellers willing to look at contingent offers. And so I was going to go over a little bit of exactly what that means. And so it's very well explained by the language in the first paragraph that talks, it just says flat out, contingent on sale of buyer's property. This agreement is contingent on the buyer selling the buyer's property located at, and it could be in the Tri-Cities or it could be in another state or another town. And it says on or before, and one of the, if not filled in, the default is on or before 45 days after acceptance of this agreement. So basically what that's saying that the buyer makes an offer on the house that's listed. We go in, there's a new construction, they've just finished it. Mm-hmm. And we say, gosh, you know what? Our buyer, Mr. Smith, loves this property. They've got a house to sell over in Creekstone before they can move to this house. And so what we're going to do is we're going to put that on the market. But we want to tie this house up because this is the one they love. Will you take our offer contingent upon us getting their house in Creekstone sold in the next 45 days? So then the seller gets to look at that and make a decision. One of the things that the seller's weighing in that instance is how likely do they think the buyer is to sell their house, say in this example in Creekstone. Is it in a price range that's been selling pretty quickly? Or is it a, you know, one bedroom, you know, 5,000 square feet, no walls inside, crazy floor plan that no one's ever seen before.
Glass windows everywhere.
And so these are the types of things in this situation that the seller's having to look at. You know, they're given the property address in the agreement. They're able to do a little bit of research with a savvy agent, look at some of those numbers and kind of reverse engineer what they feel the likelihood of that other property selling is. And so what that does is that allows somebody to identify their new house that they want to move to, stay in their current home, get a contract on their current home, and then based upon that contract, set up what we call in the business a simultaneous closing so that they only have to move once. Basically, try to engineer it so that they close in the morning, you know, when they 30, 45 days out from when they come to mutual acceptance, and then they have their proceeds from the sale, which then allows them to take those proceeds and close on their purchase in the afternoon. Like we said, with, you know, between 35 to 50 different functions that have to happen in a real estate transaction, to line all of that up on the exact same day does not always happen, but usually there's some other mechanisms where we can get it pretty close. So that those are some of the things that we deal with the buyer sale of property contingency. And that is just the very, very scratching the surface.
Ooh.
The next question that we get, and we're going to answer this when we come back after the break, that the seller always says to us is the seller says, well, I'm kind of tying my property up, but what happens if I get a better offer next week?
Ooh.
Have I tied the property up? Can I get rid of this other offer? What happens if I get a better offer? After the break, we'll go through the contracts and some of the scenarios that happen when the seller is looking for a better offer but is already under contract contingent.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about some local conditions in the real estate market and the fact that we're starting to see more situations of the contingent property offer. As we start to get a little more inventory on the market, we start to see things shift around, and we're seeing this come back into the market quite a bit. And so a lot of times people need to sell their current house to purchase their next house. Up until just a few weeks ago, the market had been moving at such a crazy pace that we just didn't see or consider contingent offers very often. But in maybe, say, upper price points that don't move as fast, or as we start to get to a more normalized situation with inventory, here comes the contingent offers again. Before the break, one of the things we indicated that happens is if a seller accepts a contingent offer, what happens if they get a better offer? Generally, when it's signed around, this is a contract. You have to follow the terms of the contract, or why would you sign it all and make the offer? Well, what happens is you have a clause in there, and it's called paragraph 4 in our property contingency addendum, and it's called property remains on the market. So written into the offer, it says seller may keep the property on the market in the contingent status until seller has received notice that the buyer has satisfied or waived their contingency. And if prior to that time, seller accepts another offer, seller shall give notice to buyer and shall give buyer 5 days, and that's a negotiated time period, 5 days, or by the expiration of this contingency, the bump period, to waive or satisfy the contingency. So in real estate, we call that a bump clause and a bump time period. So for instance, say we've accepted a contingent offer. The example before the break, someone was selling a house in Creekstone and they were buying new construction in Southridge. And they've accepted a contingent offer. Seller's waiting there. All of the sudden, you know, out of left field, John McKay walks in there. He hears Lance talking about this on the radio show, and McKay says, "You know what? I want that new construction house in Southridge. It sounds fantastic." So McKay and his wife go out there. They look at it. They love it. They're non-contingent. He just has hordes and buckets of cash, so he's not contingent. And he says, "I'm going to make an offer on the house." So he makes an offer on the house. And now the first buyer has 5 days of their bump period to either get the house in Creekstone sold and satisfy their contingency or waive their contingency. And so here's where I wanted to talk to Mr. Mike Denslow at Home Street about the importance of a pre-approval and also what can happen with folks in this situation. So, Mike, when someone's looking for that pre-approval from you, we're talking about the home sale contingency, but you sneakily so, or maybe just, we will call it not sneakily so, but maybe just financially savvy, they might have contacted you, Mike, and asked you some important questions about this situation.
Yeah, I get this a decent amount that, you know, they only want to move once. They've got enough money, I got enough equity in their current home, and so everything's going to work out perfectly, but then they get in this pickle where they really want to buy this house, but they don't have the money for their, they wanted to do 20% down. Then we really get accelerated, and hopefully we've gone over these options early in the process that maybe they've got enough money for 5% down, kind of a minimum down payment to get into the house, and then they can sell the house later, that their actual income is enough that they can handle both payments. I've seen more in the last 12 months people doing lines of credit. They've paid off their house completely. They want to do a line of credit against that house to then put money down on the next one. So it's all about understanding the options. I mean, some people can't afford both payments. So, you know, it's pretty much contingent or nothing. But exploring all those options, letting everybody know. So if that other offer came in, they're like, well, they're calling us out and we need to figure out a way to make this happen. We get a gift from a relative for the down payment, or, I mean, we can borrow from our 401k. Any of these things are actual things that I've seen happen, but just understanding the options is square one.
So, yeah, exactly. So in that scenario, maybe the first buyer, they've done their homework. They've talked to Mike at Home Street. They didn't want to carry two mortgages, so they made their offer contingent. But they had done all the right things. They were in a financial strong position, and they had a pre-approval for Mike that says, hey, we don't have to sell the house in Creekstone, and we can still buy it. In that scenario, scenario number one, John McKay goes home crying, you know, because he wasn't able to purchase it. Now, scenario number two is they have talked to Mike and they absolutely have to sell that house in Creekstone to buy the one in Southridge, because that's the only way they're approvable. It's too much for them to carry both. So in scenario number two, they don't get the house sold during the 5-day bump period. McKay's offer effectively bumps them out of first place, hence the bump clause terminology. Mm-hmm. And McKay goes into first position and they are bumped out. And then he proceeds to closing. So there is, you don't always know. And a lot of times, not all the cards have been put on the table. And so it's an emotional situation for all parties. It can be emotional for the first buyer. Unless they've done their homework and they know exactly what they're dealing with Mike. It can also be emotional for the second buyer that's trying to bump them out because, you know, that's the house they really wanted and they missed out on it. Mm-hmm. And so they're trying to, you know, or maybe they think they have a great shot at getting it and have no idea that the other party can really waive the contingency. So there's a lot to think about in those situations, but I would say number one was before entering them, talking to Mike at Home Street and knowing exactly what you need to do so that you're prepared for that situation, because you don't always know when it's going to come. And you also don't always get 5 days. I told you before the break, that's a negotiated time period. Mm-hmm. A lot of agents and sellers will only allow 24 hours or 2 days in there because they don't want to irritate the next buyer that comes by making them wait longer than that. So in those cases, it's even more important that you've talked to Mike and you've been prepared with your options. Mike, what else are you seeing out there in the lending world that the listeners need to know about?
Well, not seeing as many, you know, multiple offers. I guess just being prepared, going in with a good solid offer, with a good pre-approval letter, knowing your options, getting out and seeing. I mean, we've got a good amount of homes, and I know you and I talked back in the spring that a lot of people were going into the summer. We're closing out a lot right now. We've got the parade coming up. So now I really feel like, okay, people are getting their kids back in school. They're going to go look at these parade homes. And then if they didn't buy over the summer, now their brain's clicking again. So I kind of expect another big push here after the parade to get closed before Thanksgiving. So I think there's just still a lot of good things out there. We have a lot of great builders in town.
Mike, you absolutely read my mind. I mean, you bring up such a great point.
That happens a lot on this show.
And the last two years, we've had the parade of homes, and then it was kind of anticlimactic because all these people got excited about new construction, and then you're like, well, there's really nowhere to build you a house, and we're 14 months away. This year, we've got new construction options. Our builders have done an awesome job, and our developers, and there's lots in front of them now. And so I couldn't agree with Mike more. I think this is a time where we're going to get the kids all settled in school and people are out there looking again, and rates have held in there really well, better than expected. And so, yeah, there's going to be a lot of options, and we're going to have a strong third quarter for sure. One of the things we like to do is I've got some options for you right now because we talk about inventory coming up. I've got my pick three. Pick number one, I'm super excited about this house, 3512 South Keller. This is over in Canyon Lakes at Loudoun Greens. It's 3,058 square feet. It's a 4-bedroom, 3-bath house. Awesome floor plan, formal dining room, living room, gas fireplace. And then I've got to tell you, it's got the master on the main. So it's a two-story house, four-bedroom. Master's on the main, and they went through this master bath complete. I mean, it's not that old of a house, but they've completely upgraded the master bath. So it has a walk-in glass shower with the rain shower head, body sprays, heated tile floors, corner soaking tub, and then they made an amazing walk-in closet, 16 by 12, with all the custom built-ins that were done. So
that can almost fit all my wife's stuff.
Oh, yeah. This place is insane. Like, I was like, I stood there for a couple of minutes, and I'm like, why didn't I do this at my house? This is incredible. So that's coming in that fantastic Canyon Lakes Load and Greens area for $399. And so that's just great, great new inventory. Pick number two, 2311 Ferndale in Richland, over to Richland. This is a completely renovated four-bedroom, two-bath Rambler on a third-acre lot in North Richland. Close to the river, Leslie Groves Park, PNNL. I mean, great location. 1896 square feet, hardwood and tile throughout. Gorgeous gourmet kitchen with granite counters, alder cabinetry, stainless steel appliances. I mean, it just goes on. New roof, gutters, HVAC, new electrical panel. Completely dialed in, and that's at $344.9. Another great price point for North Richland. And then pick number three, 652 Sherwood. This is a five-bedroom, four-bath, plus a den and office in South Richland. And so there's a lot of people that are looking for that. Great room layout, gourmet kitchen featuring granite counters, island, breakfast bar. You've got double ovens, beautiful, beautiful kitchen area. Upper level, you've got the master suite with tray custom ceilings, accent lighting. And this house is cool. You've got an opportunity for multi-generational living because you've got a second master suite on the main floor and a bonus room with an attached full bathroom. So that's another big request that we get a lot. Outside, we go to extra big, large concrete pad, RV parking, 50 amp RV plug. And that's coming in at $455. I mean, that for all of those amenities, that's a great price point. So we're starting to see, like I said, better choices than I've seen in months. Some great inventory, and a busy fall market. We're super excited about it. So that's the update with what's going on in the Tri-Cities real estate market. Mike, thanks for calling in. I know you've been so busy. It's been hard to get you to the studio, but appreciate all the closings and you finishing out and cranking out some of these summer loans. How can listeners get a hold of you if they have questions about mortgage and pre-approval?
My direct line is 572-3651.
Sounds great. And if you have any questions at all or don't catch those numbers, you can go to kenmoreteam.com and shoot us a message. And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.